When People Hurt You, Lessons from Personal Experience by Robert Ramsey. The cuisine was superb, the company congenial, the after-dinner conversation uplifting, the view of mountains and water spectacular. I was pleased that I had accepted the invitation from Gladys and Bert to have dinner in their new waterfront condo. Leaving the table, I followed Bert to his office to look at some indigenous art he had brought back from Bolivia. A few minutes later, as I returned to the living room, I saw Gladys showing other guests the photograph I had given them as a housewarming gift. "Nice photograph. Cheap frame," I overheard Donald say. I froze in the hallway as my face flushed with anger and hurt. Was that really Donald's voice? Why would he say such a thing? There was no reason for him to put me down with such a caustic remark. I had deliberately chosen that frame because the photograph could be easily removed, and I had told Gladys and Bert that when they tired of my photograph, they should feel free to replace it with a new one. I lingered a moment in the hallway, calming myself, then rejoined the group, but I was upset. I had only recently returned to the Adventist church, and I had been drawn to Donald, admiring his enthusiasm for life and his love for God. He had taught me the importance of having a daily relationship with Jesus. As I drove away that evening, I comforted myself with the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." In my heart, I knew that I wanted to forgive Donald, not only because that is what Christ would do, but because I didn't know how often my own thoughtless words might have hurt someone. Not wanting to believe ill of Donald, I wondered if he was dealing with problems in his own life. Perhaps he had aimed a fiery dart at me because he felt helpless and frustrated in his dealings with someone closer to him, and I had been a convenient target. Being hurt by those we love is not a unique experience. It is those closest and dearest to us who can injure us the most. And this is true in church families as well as in blood families. As my anger and hurt came under the influence of the balm of Gilead, I reflected on the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and what it should mean to Christ's followers. Another look at those familiar words. Our Father. I am thrilled to know that the original language can be translated "our daddy," something I learned from Donald, and I sometimes use the term of endearment when praying in public. God wants to enfold us in His arms and give us knowledge about Himself so that we will grow strong spiritually, just as an earthly daddy holds his child upon his knee and lifts the spoon to their mouth. Who lives in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father lives in heaven. He is the center of the universe. He upholds the planets and oversees every natural law that governs life on this splash of blue and white we call Earth. He is above and beyond all earthly fathers, and yet we can commune with Him. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Our minds struggle to comprehend what a privilege it is to commune with the Creator of the universe. And so when we step into His house, it is with reverence, eagerly waiting for His still small voice to speak a word to us. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus describes our Father's kingdom when he says, "But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all." Mark chapter 10, verses 43 and 44. We must ask ourselves whether we are preparing daily to live in such a kingdom. As we get ready to attend church on Sabbath morning, our attitude should be, "Father, show us how we can serve someone today." Our ears should be ready to listen sympathetically, our tongues poised to speak kindly, and our hands ready to touch gently. If loving others before ourselves is our attitude, there is a good chance that our Father's will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. We fortify ourselves with spiritual food on a daily basis, so that we can share it with those we meet throughout the day. On Sabbath morning, when we look at the day's spiritual menu, we do not turn up our noses at it if it doesn't appear to meet our immediate needs. Instead, we graciously consider that the lesson study and morning message may be loaded with the vitamins and minerals that someone else urgently needs. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We remember that those sitting beside us in the pew are struggling saints dealing with issues that we know nothing about. Like our Father in heaven, we cut them some slack, deal gently with them, even when they cast unkind words or glances our way. Like Jesus, we say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Keeping in mind that they don't know the circumstances of our lives any better than we know the details of theirs, we truly believe in our hearts that they are ignorant of the hurt they've caused us, and we genuinely forgive them. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We feed daily upon our Father's word, so that we will have confidence in His strength to deliver us from difficult circumstances. At the same time, we protect ourselves from temptation by choosing books, magazines, websites, and television programs that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good rapport, and full of virtue. See Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We are motivated to seek deliverance from evil, not just for our own good, but for the well-being of the larger church family as well. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The glory of our Father's everlasting kingdom is that it is powered by love. Strong arm tactics are never used. His kingdom has always existed and will always exist. And best of all, we can be part of it. If we choose daily to be one of our Father's children, we can live with Him forever, enjoying ever-expanding love and joy throughout eternity. When we have lived for 10,000 years in that love-powered kingdom, the irritations and slights of this world, such as Donald's unkind remark, will have faded into obscurity. So why should we fret about such things today? Amen. So be it. Right on, Father. May the words and thoughts of this prayer come true in the lives of every member of your family. Amen.